I want to talk to you this morning about expecting to receive something. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1, God's word says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened unto him." Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for your goodness and your grace to us. Unworthy, but you have made us worthy. Unrighteous, but you have made us righteous. And him who knew no sin, you made sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And we bless your holy name for that today. Thank you for this wonderful story here in Acts 3 of Jesus passing by, of grace, of forgiveness, of a man sitting at a gate expecting to receive something but had no idea what he was going to get. We ask you to bless our time together in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this is the first recorded miracle that we have in the Acts of the Apostles since Pentecost, and it's a marvelous one. In fact, it's one of my favorite ones, and we used to teach it to the children, and we would sing a little song. Peter and John went to pray down to the temple one day. They met a lame man who held out his hand. And this is what Peter did say: "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the chorus was, he went walking and leaping and praising God. And you had to walk and then leap and praise God. And the children really enjoyed singing that. And it was fun to watch them all bounce in the pews. I guess that was contemporary worship, so we won't have you guys do that this morning. But it's a wonderful, wonderful story, and we're going to get into the miracle because I think it's important that you understand the ins and outs of it. But more than anything else, something that strikes me as we go through this that I want you to have at the forefront of your mind this morning is that he was expecting to receive something of them. I want to talk to you about that today, expecting to receive something. Let's begin first and notice the miracle in verse 1 through 3, and then later in verse 7 through 10, this miracle. Evidently, the early church was continuing in similar fashion as they had always while practicing Judaism for a while, because we see them here going down to the temple at the hour of prayer to pray. And this was the Jewish temple. This was not the church. This was the Jewish temple, but the church was meeting there to pray. This is how they'd always done it, and they were continuing to do it this way for a while. The characters we see in this story are Peter and John, who uniquely are working together in Christianity, but also worked together previously in fishing. So don't ever think God puts people in your life for no good reason. God puts people in your life for a reason. And then we have this man who is unable to walk. And the text tells us that he was born like this. And thankfully, he had friends enough who would carry him down to sit outside the temple and to beg for money. Trips to the temple would have been a busy time. This would not have been a time where there were just a few people around, and no doubt Peter and John would have noticed this man. No, this was a busy time. He would have cried out for alms and tried to get somebody to make eye contact with him. You guys ever go down to Nashville, you know what that's all about. If you don't make eye contact, it's easier to say, no, you can't have my money. But that was the idea here, and they would sit him right by the gate where people would go in and out for the time of prayer and beg. Many people all trying to get to the same place, and then he sees Peter and John going in, and he asks them for money. And Peter tells him, "I don't have any money, but I can help you." And Peter tells him, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, this is a man who could not walk since birth, but Peter takes him by the hand, lifts him up, and immediately his legs and his feet have strength to walk. He leaps. And for the first time ever, he walks into the temple with them praising God. Now, not only could he not walk in the temple, but because he had a physical deformity, he was not allowed into the temple by their standard of that day. And for the first time ever, this guy not only is able to walk, which is amazing, but he is allowed into the temple. And what a wonderful, wonderful miracle we see here. You can imagine why he's leaping. Some of us can't leap anymore, but I think if we were this man that day, we'd have found the strength to leap, at least just this one time. Everybody, the text records in verse 9 and 10 that everybody saw this happen. They knew who this man was, and they were amazed at what had happened to him. What a wonderful story and a wonderful miracle that we read this morning. And surely we can all see ourselves spiritually in this man and in this story. You know, never really inside the church, just close enough to interact with those who were. Isn't that right where that guy was? He didn't get to go in. He just kind of sat outside the gate. He knew who went down there and he knew who didn't. He knew if it was their bad day or their good day. He knew if they were going to give him money or if they weren't. He knew those people who practiced that religion. Never really inside the church, but close enough to interact with those who were. From birth, you and I were just like this man. He's unable to walk. From birth, we are unable to overcome our sinful state. We can't. There's nothing inside me that would allow me to. It's only God's grace. Then one day, someone comes by, and he's expecting to receive alms, but they tell him about Jesus. You and I are just the same way. Somebody put Jesus into our brains. A preacher, a Sunday school teacher, a neighbor, a family member, a co-worker, somebody came to you and spoke the name of Jesus and told you what a difference he had made in their life and what a difference he could make in your life. You and I were spiritually healed for the first time, and now we can enter church praising God. What a marvelous miracle. Before we get down to expecting to receive something to them, I want to point out verse 6 to you and not only make mention of the miracle here, but the power that is involved in the miracle. Notice verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Peter doesn't say to this man, "I can help you." Peter believes he can help him, and Peter believes he has a way to help him, but that is not what he says to him. He doesn't say, "I can help you." He says, "What I have," or in a sense, "What has been given to me, I'm going to pass along to you. What I have, I will give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Peter commands the man to do something that he himself could not do. What a cruel thing to say to him. Rise up and walk. Doesn't Peter see? He can't walk. He's not been able to walk from his birth. It's obvious. There's no muscles in his leg. There's no strength. He's physically deformed. And how could Peter say such a cruel thing to this man? Rise up and walk. What an insult. Right in his face, in public, in front of other people. Ask him to do something that he cannot do. Surely, if he could rise and walk, he would have by now. He within himself did not have the power. Jesus was the power. This miracle was performed as God used Peter, but this was all through Jesus Christ. He was the power, and Peter makes sure that this is clear. Notice in verse 4 what Peter says before he ever gets to that point. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, what did he say? "Look on us. Look right here. Look in the eye. Look in my eyes. I'm about to say something to you that's going to make a difference, and I need you to look at me and look at John as we talk to you here." And in the name of Jesus, Peter is making clear that this was possible through a risen Christ and not through himself. In Isaiah 35, the prophet speaks of the power through the completed work, the completed messianic work of Christ that would be seen. And this is what we are seeing come to pass. In Isaiah 35, verse 5, Isaiah writes, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped." In verse 6, "Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." So we see this miracle, and we see the power unto this miracle, but that's not where I want you to focus today. Today I want you to focus on the expectation. Notice verse 4 and 5. "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." He was expecting to receive something of them. Just take a moment in your mind and consider what that was. What did he expect to receive of them? What did this man who was unable to walk since birth expect from Peter and John? What did he expect from anybody that day? What did he go down there for? Alms. Money. He wanted some money. Just as he did every other day. He expected to receive enough to get him through until tomorrow. He knew he wasn't going to get rich. He knew he wasn't going to get a week's pay. He knew he wasn't going to get enough to open a savings account. But if they could just give him enough to buy just enough that he didn't have to go hungry that night, well, he could get through to the next day and ask again. And if they could just give him enough the next day to get him enough, to buy enough to get him through that night, well, he could make it till the next day and he could ask again. That's what he was expecting to receive of them. Just enough. This is what he had become accustomed to. Nothing more. Just enough for today. Just enough to get him through. Just enough so that he could quench that hunger deep inside his belly. Most were going to pass him by. But if he could just cry out at the right time and in just the right emotion extract just the right amount of pity out of someone, why, surely somebody would give him something. And you know how the game works. He's going to ask them on the way in, and they're all going to say no, but then they're going to go in and get spiritual, pray, hear some scripture read, and they're going to come out, and they're going to be feeling religious. And then he's going to, remember me? Oh, and surely he'd get something. This was his sole expectation. He needed somebody to get him there every day. He wanted to be given something today to help make it till tomorrow, and probably he needed someone to help him home, or he may have stayed around. If he got enough money to buy some food, he could just sit there and eat and wait till the next day. I'm not sure, but I think in all, his main expectation was just to receive alms. He was accustomed to receive just enough to get through today. Do you think he even considered that Peter was about to change his life forever? When we read the story, and you know all the ins and outs of this, but pretend you don't for just a moment. Do you guys remember what it's like to pretend? Did you do that when you were children? We didn't pretend, we tended. We'd say, tend like. My granny and my papa were, they were both diabetic. My papa was sicker growing up, and there were always these medical devices around the house, wheelchairs and walking canes and things like that, and we pretended like old people when we were little kids. My cousin and I would play. She was Sylvia, and I had a name. Elmer, I think, was my name, and we'd hunch over and we'd talk like, you know, I'm offended some of you with my childhood playing on it. You know, we'd say, "Yeah, I know." But we'd say, "Ten like." You know. Pretend this morning you don't know the whole story and you're watching this for the very first time. Try to get inside this guy's mind and think what he's thinking. Because more than you realize it, he's just like you. Did he even consider that Peter was about to change his life forever? Do you think that he even thought anymore about being able to walk into the temple? I'm sure there was a time in his life where he thought, this is wrong that they don't let me into the temple just because I can't walk. I could be carried in there. But I think by this point of his life, he's gotten over that. Do you think he even thinks about trying to walk anymore? He's gone long enough this way that he's just submitted to, this is what my life is, this is what it's going to be. I don't even care if I walk anymore, or I'm not even going to try because I can't. He was expecting to receive something of them, but not at all what he got. Amen. He didn't know it was possible. He didn't know that it could be. In fact, he thought, if he could think as far ahead as we do now, well, I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough for it. This is not for me, it's for someone else. His expectation was likely increased when he heard Peter say, look at me. You see, he knew if he could get them to pity him enough to look him in the eyeballs, that they would feel bad enough to give him something. They might not give all they could, they might not give what they should, but they can give him something. And he never heard anybody say, hey, you, look at me. He was always the one trying to, without saying, look at me, trying to get them to, hey, look at me. Look right here. But this time it's backwards. Peter says to him, look at me. Who has taken this much time with this man in his life? Who has, these guys who towed him down to the temple every morning, they don't look at him. They just towed him down there because he's a hassle to them. Even if he's not a hassle to them, they're busy, they have other lives. They're not looking him in the eyeballs. Right? You get where I'm going with this? They just do what they've got to do, and they do it right, and that's fine. Have you ever fed the homeless? They don't really care about the scoop of mashed potatoes. They need the scoop of mashed potatoes you're putting on their plate, but they want you to look them in the eyeballs. They're looking at you the whole time you're sitting there scooping mashed potatoes. And for about 10 seconds, you know, till they get right here, and you're part of the line, they just want to look at you. You have to get real good at scooping without looking. Because they want to look you in the eyes. They need the warmth of human interaction. They want to look you in the eyes, and they want to see you smile, and they want to be able to say to you, thank you. There's not much else in their life they're able to do that with. And in a food line, they're beggars, and you've blessed enough to be able to volunteer to give to them. And that's the idea that we see painted here this morning, is Peter says, look at me. But then that expectation is likely gone as Peter says, I don't have any money. Silver and gold have I none. Wait, did he just say none? Can you imagine what this guy's thinking? But he's gone so far to stop, and he's looking me in the eyes, and he's doing all this to tell me he has nothing. Just move, man. Let me get to somebody who has something and help me. Why did you even stop? You know I need money, and you're telling me you don't have anything? What's the point? I imagine he said to himself, here it comes. Another speech from someone who can't really help me about how I need to change my life. You think maybe he had heard those speeches before? Oh, you dirty bum, you need to get up off the street. We're trying to go into church here. This is not the place for you. Get a hold of yourself. Get your life in order. I know you can't walk, but you could do something. You could get a stool in the market and buy and sell. Surely you could come up with something to do but sitting around and begging every single day. Am I the only one who thinks that way? I imagine in his mind, as Peter said, look at me, he thought to himself, you know, Peter's a pretty serious guy, isn't he? Peter wasn't joking. I don't know ever when Peter kidded around or joked around. Peter was always zealously serious. Is that the right way to use words? I think maybe I misused some there. Peter said, look at me. He probably thought, oh, here it comes. He's going to preach at me a little bit. He's going to tell me how I need to do something different, how I need to be unlike I am right now. And that's not what Peter does at all. Peter said something to him that he had never heard, or that he had not heard for a very, very, very long time, probably since he was a child. He said, get up and walk. Can you imagine the last time he'd heard somebody say that to him? It probably was a little bit of a shock. It probably made him think. It probably made his expectation change, because he came there expecting to never walk again. And maybe if I could just get some change to buy a cup of coffee today, everything will be all right. And this man looked at me and he said the thing that I didn't expect him to say, rise and walk. Why would he say that? He has no money. The quicker I get finished with him, the quicker I can move on to the next person. Get up and walk? Yeah, right. I wish I could get up and walk. Okay, we'll show him. He's got his hand out. Let's let him drop me right here in front of everybody. Then he'll feel like the fool. And he reaches out and he takes Peter's hand. And then I can't imagine the words inside of his head. I have to just think what it must be like in my own head. But I don't know. Wow. I feel blood moving through my legs. My feet are getting stronger. What's happening? I've never felt this before in my life. I'm standing. I'm walking. I wonder if I can jump. I've seen children jump, and I've always wanted to just jump. And he goes leaping, walking, and praising God into the temple. Yes, sir. Did you come here today expecting something? I think most do come to church expecting to receive something. But I think, and this is an insult, but I'm just going to tell you up front, I'm going to insult you. I'm doing it on purpose. But I think most of the time our expectations are shallow. I'm the preacher, and mine are. You know what my typical expectation is? This is poor of me to even confess before you. My typical expectation on a Sunday is that enough people would show up to make it worth it. And I'm, you know, okay, we did something today. We had church. You think poorly of me now? I think we do come expecting to receive something, but our expectation is so shallow that I think probably in heaven God is thinking, go deeper. Think higher. Expect more. I can do more. Can he not? Are all things impossible with God, or all things possible with God? All things are possible with God. Why should we ever come to the house of God to worship with the people of God with shallow expectations? But week after week after week we do. And I don't know, I'm not you, and I don't sit where you sit every Sunday, but I think probably this is what a shallow expectation looks like to the typical church member. Got to get up and go to church today, because I sure need it to get me through this week. And I hope that preacher don't get off into too much of that theology, because I just need him to give me something for me today. How wrong am I? I've been in the pews too. Sometimes you don't need to hear about how high the temple wall was and how thick the priest's garments were. Sometimes you need to hear Jesus was on the boat with his disciples in the middle of the storm, and they thought they were going to go over and die, and he stood up in the middle of their storm and said, "Peace, be still." Amen. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But my goodness, why are we so shallow in that? Is our God not sovereign? Is he not on the throne? Is he not in control of every aspect of your life? And we struggle and we strive with the most menial little decisions and the most menial little tasks. And we think, what in the world are we going to do? Because we don't know the answer. We don't know how we're going to make it through this. We don't even know if we're going to live. Well, now, wait a minute. Whether I live or not, that's very important, isn't it? Is it? Why should God's people ever fear death? What, to go home and be with him? To go home and see mama, to go home and see daddy, to go home and be with grandpa and grandma, to get out of this old nasty world?
Yeah.
My goodness, that's the win.
That's right.
Did you come here today just expecting enough to get you through till tomorrow? Or did you come here today expecting that, oh, I can't wait to get to church because something may happen down there that might change my life forever?
Amen.
Or I can't wait to get to church because something might happen to somebody else's life to change their life forever, and I want to be a part of it.
Hey.
Look at me. I don't have any silver and gold in the sermon sense of things. I don't. I'm not a silver and gold preacher. But such as I have, give I you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, if you're unsaved, stop that cycle and allow the power of Christ to bring you unto salvation. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Christians, stop coming to church week after week just to get a fix till next week. That's a habitual mess. We aren't to live that way. I guarantee you nobody came here today thinking, this might be the day God calls me to Africa. I did it. I probably prayed this morning, Lord, don't send me to Africa. It's one of my theme songs. But you know, if he did, you'd never live a more fulfilled life.
That's right.
You ever met a missionary? They're the happiest people in the world. And I'm thinking, Brother Persons comes over here sometimes, and this guy goes to Muslim countries and gets shot at. His life is constantly on life. I'm thinking, man, my liver would flip over and come out of me. I couldn't handle the stress. I would have ulcers. And he's just grinning. And he said, yo, man, they might shoot me. It's crazy. It's like living in a movie. And I'm like, you're a wild man. He's 85 years old and he's talking like this. I said, what's wrong with this guy? They're the most fulfilled people in all the world. Did you come here today with that expectation? Did you come here today thinking, I'm sick. I've got a disease. I've got cancer. But God might very well heal my body today. No, we don't expect that because the doctors have already told us, haven't they? It's going to take this long and this is what's going to happen and on and on. Did you come here today saying, God might fix my marriage today? I can't fix it. I don't know the solution. I don't know how to get along with my spouse. We can't seem to see eye to eye on things. And nobody else knows it but us, but it's in the pots. But God might fix it today. Did you come here today thinking, oh, I'm so excited to go get to church to worship because God might do something in me to fix, I don't know, what? Finances, job, relationships with people? Did you come here with those expectations today? Or was it, I'm going to go because it's what I'm supposed to do and I know I need to and I'm going to go back home and hopefully I'll pick up a little tidbit of something. I've heard church referred to as a buffet. Usually don't like everything. I love everything on every buffet. Oh, whatever happened to Ryan's Steakhouse? Oh, man. I'm hungry thinking about Ryan's rolls right now. And I know some of you are a little more high-end than that, but if that's me, I am a Ryan's Steakhouse kind of guy. But, you know, somebody referred to church as a buffet. He said, you don't like everything they put out there. Some of it's too cold, some of it's too hot, some of it's stuff you don't like. You just pick and choose and get you a good plate full, and you're good to go home. Well, church doesn't have to be that way. Get your thinking right. Get your head screwed on right. Come down to church expecting to receive something of Him. It's not me. It's not the choir. Or we don't have a choir. I wish we had a choir. It's not the singers. It's not the musicians. It's not the Sunday school teachers. It's Almighty God. Amen. God can make things come out of that person's mouth that you never imagined they could, and that you're the only one who heard them, and they didn't even know what they said that helped you. Do you don't believe that's the truth? Stand with me at the back door some Sunday mornings, and somebody will say to me, when you said such and such, that really helped me today. And I'm thinking, I do not remember saying that. Most of us just come. It's what we do. This man came expecting to receive something of them, and the potential of that is enormous. He didn't know it, but wow, the potential. As we pray today, the prayer is simple. I'm asking you to pray to adjust your expectation. B.B. Warfield said this, "He who comes to God in prayer comes not in a spirit of self-assertion, but in a spirit of trustful dependence." Is that where you find yourself today? Are you in a spirit of self-assertion? Are you in a spirit of self-dependence? Lord, I don't want to sing. That was me this morning. Why do I have these songs in my heart? Lord, they don't want to hear me sing. Okay, I'm not going to fight you because I sure ain't going to try to preach a message and you're telling me to sing a song and I need to sing a song before I preach that message, and it'd be a mess trying to preach that message when I was supposed to sing that song. You been there?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm going to do what you say. It's going to be off key and I'm not going to remember all the words. I don't even know exactly which song you wanted me to do. I just felt like I should sing Grace. I should have just sang Grace. Okay, Lord, I sang Grace. Is it self-assertion or trustful dependence? Where are you at this morning? Adjust your expectation. God does never intend to fulfill you enough in life that you know what's going on and you know what to do. Have you figured that out yet? God expects you to be completely dependent upon Him as a babe is to his mother. And I know we don't like that because we're grown folks and we have plans and ideas and we have a budget and we've got it all figured out. I have a 5-year plan. Do any of you guys have a 5-year plan? Nobody else that wants to admit it, right? Oh, I do. I have a 10-year plan and a 15-year plan. I got ideas, dreams, and visions. But I found out that God's will for me is just take it one day at a time.